It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
We begin hour two, and we'll get to what Adam Silver said over the weekend. We started hour one talking Astros as they get swept by the Orioles. Just a tough way to come out of the break. If you thought, hey, time off, perhaps we can get this going. The division is allowing us to stay in the race, and it still does do that. It's just a rough way to have your three games at home and not score more than two runs in any game. In fact, just score two runs per game. In each game, you did that. So now you move on. You had some failures from your bullpen. You had Hunter Brown not be at his very best. It all came together along with your poor offense to get swept. I was thinking about a word. I think the word that an English commentator would have used for the Astros with impotent. Like, you don't hear that word a lot here to talk about sports. I think they would have called it an impotent performance by the Astros bats. Craig Burley would have done that, certainly. I think that would have been the word. Shameful, strong. Disgraceful, strong. But
disgusting? I think that's a little strong.
That's strong, too.
Because the pitching, like, they did have a chance to win two games.
Yeah.
And obviously they couldn't hit, so it wasn't like a complete oh my God, they just got smoked.
No.
And they didn't have to resort to, you know,
thuggery.
I wasn't gonna say it.
Craig Burley said it.
Yeah.
I'm just repeating his words.
You know. Yeah. Gotta be careful.
You do. You do. we're simply stating what another
quoting Craig Burley.
In fact, quoting the great Craig Burley. Maybe that's something I shouldn't have said either, considering what he said.
Great.
Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
As a player, I'm sure.
He was fine. Yeah. He played for the Scottish national team. He was a longtime pro. He was a really good player. And now he's transitioned to being one of the voices for ESPN soccer. All right, let's get to an American sport. We still got some months away before anything of real consequence happens in that sport. But a schedule has to be made, and it's being held up by one man. That is LeBron James. Whether you're following this or not, checking the prediction markets or not, the betting odds, which fluctuate seemingly by the day, he still needs to make a decision. If you're being cynical, and AJ and I were on Friday, we thought that he would wait until everything that was newsworthy got out of his way. So would it be opportune to make that announcement this week for him? Possibly, or maybe he likes taking things in August. Who knows? But the commissioner of the sport that he plays in wants him to make a decision for a very practical reason. Here's Adam Silver talking about how the LeBron James decision affects quite a bit when it comes to the NBA.
And where LeBron plays will affect the schedule. So I would like him to make his announcement already so we can finish the schedule, because as you might imagine, the teams are calling us, the networks are calling us, and everybody wants to lock in the schedule. But it will influence how we set the schedule, opening week, Christmas Day, etc. So I need him to make a decision. But the direct answer is I have no inside information.
That is the most practical reason I've heard for him to get on with it. Hey, people have jobs to do. He's within his rights to take, I guess, as long as he wants, because the teams who are interested in having him will let him wait, or at least will be fine with waiting, because there's not another big move on the horizon for them, it seems like. The Cavs don't have money to spend. I guess the James Harden decision is based off of this. So
yeah.
Maybe James Harden would like him to make a decision because he's in a little bit of limbo.
Draymond, too.
Yeah, there are a couple guys who are waiting because they have decided to opt out of deals so LeBron could make the most money possible. And then they will re-sign with their teams. We are one LeBron decision away from Kobe Altman getting called a liar by James Harden.
Say it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will say Adam Silver, it's not like he's considering, you know, some trash team. You know, it is like the Miami Heat who acquired Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Would they be on Christmas Day without LeBron?
Probably. Right? Yeah,
how many national television games does Giannis warrant?
At least Christmas.
Yeah, you make a point. Like Philly has star players.
Yeah.
The Cavs, they have star players.
Eastern Conference Finals.
They're a good team who made the Eastern Conference Finals. These are all
Don't ask what happened afterwards.
Yeah, it's unnecessary. These are all teams that you would put on national television.
Yeah. Warrior, it seems like just by, you know, tea leaves and, you know, innuendo and rumor that the Warriors might be falling out of the race, but even still, it's a team of Steph Curry. Like, just the, if LeBron doesn't go to this team, like, how screwed are you that you put him on Christmas Day? None of them. Yeah. Maybe the Cavs.
I don't know that anyone's looking for the Cavs, even though they are a successful franchise.
Yeah, they'll get national TV games, but they're kind of like a B-lister.
Yeah, they're not, I don't think they're a Christmas Day game.
Without LeBron.
Without LeBron. So yeah. That would be the one team, like Philly would get there, I believe.
But there's five Christmas Day games, so like,
true.
There's 10 teams. A third of the league is playing on Christmas. Like, you can probably finagle. Again, you're going to have New York play because they're the champions. You can have them play either Miami or Boston or Miami or Philly.
Spurs as a rematch.
Yeah, Spurs as a rematch. So I feel like while I understand, and I'm sure there are like more big tent pole. Days, you know, like opening day or opening weekend, like he mentions, like it might get a little bit, but I don't know. Again, it's not like he's considering the Grizzlies. Like,
yes, I think it's more about how many games are we giving this team on national television? Do they get 20?
And specific matchups, maybe.
Yeah. Who do you want these? Which matchup do you want on national television?
Because they're going to play the Lakers. You know,
yeah.
Whatever.
I
get it.
They'll get them as many times. And if it's Golden State, then maybe you throw three of those matchups on national television. The Heat, maybe you want to get both of them on. Who knows? But that is one of the concerns for the commissioner and the rest of the NBA as we wait on this. Everyone says they don't know. Unless everyone whose reputation would be hurt if they came out there and said they know and gave a location and were wrong are saying they don't know.
Well, I did see today that that his decision is expected today per Pat Bev.
Is that so?
Patrick Beverley is putting
As I said, anyone whose reputation would be hurt by making a proclamation and being wrong is saying they don't know. Pat Bev, if he says it, it's just another thing he said that didn't come true.
On his podcast.
Yeah,
I'm
big
sure.
deal.
Yeah. It has to be this week. Post World Cup, pre NFL training camp. Not that NFL training camp's like a huge, you know,
but football
talker.
Is king, so yeah, people will care. No one really is looking to anything right now.
Is LeBron overrating how earth-shattering this announcement would be?
I think in the world we live in today, yes. It's fine.
Great play. 40.
You're a great player still. You can affect a team still. But it ain't 2010.
No.
And forget about just his status as a player. No player's decision matters that much to people anymore. It's not It's not how we operate. It's not how we take things in.
It's not how champions, you know, it's what, eight different champions in 8 years. Like, it, you know, in 2010, it really was as simple as, like, well, if you have LeBron James on your team, literally, he made 8 straight finals. Like, you're going to the finals if you have LeBron on your team. Or, you know, it was more of a best player type of sport where it's like, you know, you give the best player in the world a decent team around him. Like, you're going to go very far in the playoffs. You can have, you know, whatever. I forgot who the Heat point guard was that first year.
Several, like Carlos Arroyo.
Carlos Arroyo and Joel Anthony be two of your five starters if your other three starters are Chris Bosh, LeBron James, and Dwayne Wade. Now, it's like if you don't have an eight or nine deep team, like you're going to lose in the second round. Like it's just any one play, you know, even if Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was a free agent, it would actually mean less than LeBron, even without the, you know, the fact he's LeBron, just the best player in the world, you know, Kevin Durant in 2016, all these guys. It just like the individual weight of one of these guys. I mean, Nikola Jokic lost in the first round. No one's like killing him for it. You know, it's the game has changed in that way. Giannis hasn't made it out of the first round in 3 years, but he was still the prize acquisition of this offseason. I think he's overrating again, just the amount of like, oh my God, he's going to this team.
And that certainly is if some of us are right and he has known for a while and he's simply stretching this out. If he doesn't know really and he's still trying to make a decision, okay.
But what is he mulling? You know, like he was at Fanatics Fest.
Look, I can't speak to the great basketball mind of LeBron James and what he finds important as he wants to be happy, as we've been told.
He's choosing happy.
But I imagine
wants his joy.
Having a good basketball situation plays a part in it as well. He likely doesn't want to be seen as a guy who is less important than he has been in the past. And but what I mean by that is whoever he's joining, he won't be the best player on the team.
No.
So there's part of that, but also if he's joining Cleveland, how often will he have the ball in his hands? Same could likely be said for Philly. If you go to Miami, you'd be their pseudo point guard. Golden State, you just love playing with Steph. So I think some of this is playing a part. I am still being cynical and thinking he knows. But if he doesn't know, then I'll shoot him the bail and go, you know what? Maybe you don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. You're not even sure. And you got a family to think about as well. The thought was the last time, not the L.A. decision, that was a clean, everyone knew he was going there. But when he went back to Cleveland, mm-hmm. there was a thought that was a family decision beyond, I want to bring a title to Cleveland. People wanted to go back there. So how's that playing a part this time around? I don't know. I mean, if he could just make a decision, then he could tell us. But until he does that, we have to speculate, and we'll see if it happens this week. And when it happens,
it has to happen.
And then when it happens, one fan base will celebrate. The fan base is in contention. We'll say he wasn't that good anyway for a couple of days, and we'll move on with our lives. It won't be this long lasting thing because, as I said, it's not how we treat things anymore. And also, he's 40 something years old, and the way you win NBA titles, as you laid out, is a little different. He's not the world changing star that he was, but he is still a universe unto himself. So we'll see what happens with whatever decision he makes. All right, we'll go to break with that. The number is 713-780-3776. If you want to join us, we will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So the World Cup Final, Sunday. Astros get swept, unfortunately, by the Orioles. Well, we had a big, big movie that came out. A lot of hype. A lot of money being spent to make it, and then, you know, they're recouping it pretty quickly. I think the Odyssey will be fine. I think the people behind the Odyssey, not named Christopher Nolan, are gonna get their return on investment. His return may be multiple Oscar wins. We'll see how it goes there. But I saw it on Friday night. Saw it Friday night at Cinemark 18. They don't have the top-tier IMAX viewing experience. In fact, they don't have an IMAX at all. They have XD. Like, AMC Gulf Point has the IMAX, but not even the best of the best. Like, like a couple people. We had a call. You were out for the week, Sean. Tyler, one of our listeners, he said he was going to Dallas for their IMAX. We have Nicholas who made that same decision as well.
We were talking about it. Yeah, there's like 40 70 millimeter IMAX theaters or theaters that have that projector and screen. I was actually talking to Nicholas. I don't know. Did he talk about it on the show where the Regal Marquee has the right screen for 70 millimeter IMAX? They just don't have the projector for it.
Correct. Yeah.
That's just a hilarious thing. But yeah. This is it's something where I think Christopher Nolan has earned the like, yeah. Got to see it in IMAX. Or if you can, if it's easy for you, like, spend the extra couple dollars and see it in the biggest way possible.
So we talked about it on Friday, and I went to see, even just whether it be Marquee or Greenway, particularly, I think I looked at the Marquee off I-10. When's the next chance you could get a reasonable time, at least for me, to see it in IMAX? To push that thing to next Saturday. I don't know as of now, do those seats still exist as far as being available? Because I looked at it on Friday just to see, okay, not this Saturday, not Sunday. Then I just pushed it out a week and go, hey, Friday, Saturday. It was like, I think Friday at like, I don't know, 10:30 a.m. or something, whatever it was. You might get a seat that isn't in the front row, which not a great way to watch an IMAX film. So I saw it in a comfortable seat on a giant screen, but not the biggest certainly that it could be. And I enjoyed that. I enjoyed it quite a bit. It's certainly with Nolan's going to be well done. The themes, after you watch it, if they don't take hold the first time, I believe from people who've seen it twice, will take hold that second time. Odysseus is well, at least with Matt Damon, it's hard to dislike. Matt Damon is rarely someone you dislike in a movie. You know, even in The Martian, you didn't want to, not The Martian, that was the one where he was supposed to be liked. Yeah. In Interstellar, I mean, where he does what he does, still holding off from spoiling Interstellar, apparently. You don't want to dislike that character in Interstellar, but he's doing some really terrible things. So you have to dislike him, even though it is Matt Damon. So you give Odysseus a likable actor behind him while he's doing some things that are less than virtuous. Sure, you want to hang out with Charlize Theron? Understood. Although, even that is positioned as not really his fault. Yeah. Come on. What are we doing?
Yeah.
Some of it is your choice.
But what he did to that Cyclops, uncalled for.
This is what I'm saying. Like, in the text, yes, Odysseus is a bit of a schemer. He's duplicitous. And that shows itself in the movie, but not so overtly where you're like, man, what a a-hole he is. But yeah, what he does to Poseidon's son, tough.
We expected the thuggery.
I mean, once you get stuck in that cave, sure, you got to try to find your way out. But once you're out and enough of your men are free,
no need for that.
The ones who aren't eaten by the Cyclops, you don't need to do that little extra thing. No. That's very, we're going to get stuck in. That's a very Paredes, Enzo Fernandez thing to do from Matt Damon. That's like, hey, I'm out here. This is over.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a little bit more, though, to let you know I was here.
Yeah.
And that's what he was on. That was unnecessary. And it cost him.
It did.
It cost him some men.
And years of his life.
Yeah.
Actually, all of his men.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things.
But hey, don't challenge. Don't
spoiler,
mess with
all of his men die. Sorry.
It's part of the old text. You can't fault us for this. It's a literary classic. Been around a long time.
They literally teach it in like ninth grade.
Yeah. Like, there's no one in your life, most likely, who hasn't been given a little bit of the Odyssey when they're in school. Yeah. It's just how it is. So, great movie.
Christopher Nolan, you did it again.
And
son of a gun.
Big surprise, he did it again. And as I said earlier, Spider-Man, first 15 minutes or so,
It's a lot. To me, I compared as me and my friends debriefed after watching it.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like backup quarterback energy of, you know, he was making the throws that were given to him, but he wasn't. I'm not sitting there going like, wow, Tom Holland.
You know, it's complete, but
he kept the chains moving.
Receiver stopping his feet. He's not catching it in stride. Yeah. Stuff like that. Yeah, but you're keeping it moving. You're not stopping the operation, but it's just not as crisp as you would like.
Yeah.
And the choice to cast Matt Damon leads to the rest of the cast having American accents if they weren't American to begin with. And we didn't get Peter Parker accent. We got something a little different.
Which was, hey, okay, he's got another pitch to throw. But
I mean, you can't be from Queens in the Odyssey, I think is what it is.
Mr. Menelaus?
Yeah.
Can you tell me about my father?
Yeah. My dad.
Oh, yeah, my dad.
That's the other thing. Nolan used modernized language, so not a lot of mother and father. It was like mom and dad from Tom Holland's character. But beyond that.
Pining over a daddy you don't even know.
Yeah, Pattinson. Robert Pattinson.
Goat.
Yeah. The suitors overall were villains, but he took it.
Oh, yeah.
He took, and he was put in a position to be the main non-god or Trojan or whatever, or witch villain.
He was the villain at home.
Yeah, all the obstacles that Odysseus had to deal with. It was the villain at home. That was Robert Pattinson. He did a good job doing that. I like John Leguizamo in his performance. Mm-hmm. Shout out to him.
Mm-hmm.
Anne Hathaway did the thing as Penelope. Liked her as Penelope. The witch Samantha Morton. There was some body horror stuff that they did throughout.
I know it turned into a different movie. Yeah, 10 minutes.
Yeah, so I think well done.
Yeah,
didn't get any sirens though. We got them, but not really.
Yeah, they got sidelined. I mean, some parts did get abbreviated.
It's like checking the boxes, guys.
Yeah, it's just like you got to throw these guys in there. Yeah. But yeah, Agamemnon. Whew. A little uncalled for, I will say.
Who? What was a little uncalled for?
The dramatics of when the gates of Troy open and he's standing there.
The aura
there
farming he was doing?
It was, I mean, come on. Come on, guy. You already have a matte black, you have the pro combat ancient Greek
sure.
armor.
Sure.
With the black feather or whatever, or black little, I don't know. Looks like a broom top.
And then you had the spine, little golden spine.
Yeah,
what it looked like.
Listen, he's already dripped out, so you know he's different. But I mean, come on, dude.
Benny Safdie, Agamemnon.
Didn't know you had that in you, Benny Safdie.
I knew.
Baby Bowser himself was.
Hey, he is one of the guys that Nolan likes to put in his movies.
Yeah,
it's a theme. I did know Lupita had it in her. Do what she did.
Yeah.
Just from previous works, and she did it again when Agamemnon came home.
Yeah.
Tough.
It really is a movie where, I mean, the story, like, obviously the story, like, at least you and I, we know it. I will say I was surprised how, you know, there are some people you see that are like, don't know the story. Wow.
Yeah, I was talking about it on Friday, how this is one of these movies for me. It's an IP. It's IP, certainly. Mm-hmm. It's a familiar thing, and then you throw in the Christopher Nolan of it, and so this was right in my wheelhouse. But for some, I guess I would be surprised, too, but I guess it doesn't get taught everywhere.
Yeah.
I just felt like, hey, I went to a public school that wasn't great, and the Odyssey still came up, so yeah. I just assumed that it would be something that it just everyone comes across at some point.
Could also be people weren't paying attention in class. That happens.
That's true.
But yeah, it's like the story. It's like kind of, you know, 3,000 years old, and the movie. It's like just well done all across the board. I don't have a ton to like discuss other than man that was awesome. Menelaus, man, what a guy.
Barenthal is Menelaus.
I know that. I mean that was like Christopher Nolan pointing at me in the crowd and being like, this guitar solo is for you. Here's John Barenthal.
Menelaus or the Punisher. Let's see which one we love more.
No.
Let's see which one we love more on the big screen coming up here shortly.
Yeah. Big couple weeks for, I don't know, like a third of this cast with those two.
Zendaya. Yeah, playing Athena or some version of it.
Yeah.
There's a question of whether that's just in Odysseus's head,
mm-hmm.
or is that actually Athena talking to him? But yeah, as you mentioned, big couple of weeks for Holland, Zendaya, and Barenthal as the next Spider-Man.
Yeah, but they already got out. They got a big W on the board already.
You know, Nolan. I think Nolan gets a big W, and Damon does. I would say that's a Damon Nolan. You want to throw Anne Hathaway in there? That's,
Pattinson.
Yeah, that's their movie.
Okay,
Pattinson better collect wins. He's gonna have a lot of time to collect them because of Batman not coming out till 2028.
Yeah, but he's putting some innings.
Yeah,
he's putting in some innings.
He's putting in the work. He had the drama too, so he's putting in work with Zendaya. It's been a big Zendaya summer.
Yeah, actually. Got Dune in 6 months or less.
Like,
than
she was like, you know what? Let me do all the things. Let them all fall in 2026, and maybe I'll take some time off. We'll see. But we're just casually mentioning that there's a Spider-Man movie coming out. The Marvel Universe is going to give us something else that will compete with Dune, as you mentioned Dune.
Yeah.
The first trailer for Avengers Doomsday is out. And AJ, who filled in last week, texted me first. I didn't even know it was coming out. I forgot that Marvel had a countdown clock always going, I guess, for Avengers Doomsday. And then a little thing popped up where the clock was still going, but there was a certain portion of the clock in minutes highlighted, which said something, which told everyone something was up. Turns out it was the new Avengers Doomsday trailer. And AJ texted me. He certainly was excited about it, alerted me that it was live and ready to watch. Gotta say, I don't know if Marvel's back because the movie actually has to come out. But I got that feeling again. I got that feeling like, oh, I need to watch this. I haven't said that about a Marvel movie. Like a strictly Marvel movie. Spider-Man, even though it's Marvel, I put it in a different category. Sony and all that stuff.
It's Spider-Man.
But Spider-Man. But a Marvel, full-on Marvel movie, I haven't felt that way about maybe since Black Panther 2, that I felt like I got to watch this one. I got to get there. I can only go by the trailer, but with Thor narrating, giving that speech, you see Mystique. You got Professor X, you got Magneto, you got Cyclops in a shot that is spectacular, and it goes back to the comics. Cyclops on his knees and I don't even know what they're officially called. I'm not that big into Cyclops, but you know the red laser come out of his eyes for nerds who aren't the biggest nerds who certainly probably have an actual specific name for what that is. Blast that. That laser blast that comes out of his eyes, people. All of that.
I think it's like optical something.
See, there's a term for it. I just don't know what it is.
I also know they're not lasers.
But. Yeah. I know they're not lasers too. I just don't know what they're called. So I got to go with something that I can wrap my mind around. He had him doing that. Look, the Duffers are the Stranger Things guys. The Russos, you got me. The trailer got me. I can't speak to if the movie will match the trailer.
Mm-hmm. But they found.
But the trailer's a winner.
They got 90 seconds of goodness in there.
And then we got a special appearance at the very end. I reveal some of the stuff. I'll let you go watch it for people who haven't seen it and watch the very end of the trailer. I'm sure it struck a chord with people to see a certain person back in the fold. So. The Odyssey, nice way to start the weekend. And then, although it is Monday, give me that Avengers Doomsday trailer as a way to wrap up my pop culture weekend.
Before we settle back into 6 days of Marlins, Astros baseball.
And other stuff. Yeah,
just Astros baseball until finally training camp starts.
I don't feel that way. And it's funny you say that because DJ Bienemate sat down with someone over a Zoom or whatever, a video call, and talked about how he doesn't expect him to learn much from training camp. Yeah. Things have changed. It's not the same as it was before. You're not going to really be able to piece together anything real from training camp.
I can already tell you the defense is going to be ahead of the offense for 10 days.
I think even beyond that, it's just like they don't do enough give you any impression of what the season's going to look like for these guys. It's not something you see anymore. It is
crazy that, like, and with how little they play in the preseason games, that it is like September is basically like preseason now. It's like even if your team, I mean, we saw it with the Texans last year. I was going to bring up a hypothetical. If a team starts 1-3, you're still in it. The actual Houston Texans started 0-3 and looked as bad as he could on offense. And it's like, actually, they ended up making the playoffs anyway. And kind of settled into what your preseason expectation for this team was. They actually did deliver that, you know, October and on. It's something where, I don't know. I can't wait to, you know, analyze what I saw. Tank Dell was working out at U of H's practice field or something. I saw people being like, I don't want to get excited, but wow, this is encouraging. I'm like, he is running against air right now. I don't want to listen. Hey, I don't want to tell anyone how to fan, but we got to pace ourselves.
That would be my major takeaway. If anything can be taken away from training camp, is Tank Dell someone that is full go? Not whether it's going to be great for him, but
just physically, can he
go out there in 11-on-11, even in practice and play? Will he be held out of joint practices when they do that, or will he be able to go? Because where you have less opportunity to protect them in a joint practice, you just never know how the opponent's going to treat the 11-on-11 situation. So if we get that, then at least that's something I can go, okay, at least Tank has shown that whatever he will be in 2026, there's a pathway forward, as opposed to, well, you know, we're going to hold him out, we're not sure. That's been the story, and it needed to be as he's recovered from his injury. That's the one thing I will care about as far as camp is concerned. Can he go? And if he's a major contributor, even better. But he was one of, I don't know if you want to call it a foundational piece, but he was one of the young players that had a lot of promise for this team. You just have been without him for a while now because of that devastating injury. So it'd be good to see Tank back and playing it, and then we'll see what comes of it.
And you need another receiver.
You do need some juice there. Yeah. Someone, he is the only other guy that can say he's an established NFL player at that position. I'm trying to think of everybody else. Did they sign anyone that I should remember? Like Higgins, Hutchinson, I guess you want to put him in that category. But as far as impact players, it's only Tank and Nico. And Tank has obstacles to overcome.
Yeah.
So they do need to find a guy. And if it's Tank, all the better. All right, we'll go to break. The number is 713-780-3776. I'd advise you, if you're into the stuff we talk about on Fridays, go watch the Doomsday trailer and see if that Marvel excitement is back. It was for me. Sean has told me, and I guess we can talk about it here. Oh, you don't want to?
No, it's fine. I don't care.
There is, as we talked about, Dune is coming out that same day, and Sean said Dune is going to be watched first.
It's going to get the premium.
And I laid out a scenario that's a little odd. And I said, hey, the next day is a promise, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had to make a choice, Dune or Avengers Doomsday. Said Dune. I'm watching Dune.
Yeah. Yeah.
So his priorities are with Dune. Mine are, I think, with Avengers Doomsday. I'd rather watch Zendaya as MJ than as Shawnee. And I'd rather watch Tom Holland than Timothy Chalamet. Even though I didn't need Villeneuve in the story and its completion, at least for this part of Dune, will likely be better and more epic.
Yeah. That is part of it, is that's the end of the trilogy, at least as currently constructed. I'd be very surprised.
I put Spider-Man there as opposed to Avengers Doomsday. I don't know that Spider-Man will be in Doomsday, honestly.
Yeah, it wasn't in the trailer, but obviously we'll see more in whatever 10 days.
Thought of Thor and some other people coming back, if the feeling remains, like it could change. There could be some more news or another trailer that comes out that goes, the first trailer was fool's gold for me. But as it stands now, I like the X-Men more than I like sandworms.
All right. You just don't respect the plight of the Fremen and their galactic jihad that they're, which is what they call in the books.
Yeah. Aren't they committing the galactic jihad?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't like conquerors, Sean.
All right. Someone was happy that Spain won. I don't know, just saying.
It's true. Saying. But it was
keep that same energy.
It was more Argentina lost than Spain. It could have been anyone on the other side, honestly. Almost anyone, I guess. It had little to do with Spain and all to do, and mostly to do with Argentina losing and watching how poorly they handled it, which was to be expected. All right, now we'll go to break. I'm an Avengers Doomsday guy. Sean's a Dune guy.
Yeah, balanced.
And then we'll flip the next day. It'll probably be a two-movie weekend for both of us.
Yeah, that's. I mean, that is the ultimate thing. It's just, you ask me which one I want to see first. It's that one.
Yeah, but the other one he still wants to see.
Yeah, I will also watch it.
Yes, we will watch both, and we'll likely have commentary that following Monday.
Technically works better for the show, too. One of us watches one, the one for a Friday show.
Oh, yeah, you're watching it on Thursday.
Yeah.
Your plan is to watch it on Thursday.
Thursday, and then, yeah.
That's true. We'll have reviews.
Yeah.
Non-spoiler reviews of both from my perspective and his that next day. What a preview.
For the December 17th show or whatever.
Yeah, wait on that, guys. Hey, with bated breath.
This is our trailer for that show.
Yeah, we're already, yes. And I'll give you some information you might actually care about when we come back, because fantasy football is fast approaching. We just talked a little bit about training camp. We're going to give you an opportunity to join our league and have a couple nice stay at the Golden Nugget. We'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show. That's kind of full of sports, but also filled with a lot of movie talk. Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
Sean Mapes and I, along with John and Lance, are going back to the Golden Nugget for our second fantasy football draft. We did it last year. We're going to do it again this year. We're going to make an announcement, or at least give you an opportunity to win, not this show, but the morning show at 7 a.m. on Thursday, giving away one spot for you and a friend to be in the league with us. You'll get that two-night stay at the Golden Nugget on the 27th and 28th of August, and then $200 in food and a beverage credit and dinner at the DraftKings Sportsbook. So that's separate. The $200 in food and beverage, that credit is separate, and then you also get the dinner at the DraftKings Sportsbook during the fantasy draft. You can tune in on Thursday for your chance to win. That'll be in the 7 o'clock hour on the John and Lance Show. From my conversation with Joe, I think you should be prepared to answer a fantasy football question. You'll do it off the air. You'll call in. We'll probably do something like, for an example, caller 5 at whatever time, whatever time, and then you'll call in, I'll take your call, and I'll get that answer for you. Or you'll give me the answer, and if you are correct, you're one of the winners. Mm. You can bring your buddy or your wife, whoever it is, who you think would want to participate in the Fantasy Football League, along with, of course, the two-night stay at the Golden Nugget. That'll be your first opportunity this Thursday.
Yeah, I think that the opportunity to be in a Fantasy Football League with mainly John and Lance, I would say, and then tier break you, and then tier break me. I think that is, to me, second to the opportunity to stay at the Golden Nugget for two nights, as with not free, but essentially a lot paid for. I think that's the, you know, that's the big prize.
Oh,
and then,
yeah.
And then we'll do a fantasy draft.
Yeah, the big sell.
Is
for you
staying,
guys.
Staying there
for
$200 of meals.
And there you get to take in all that they provide. We do every time we go there. Well, I mean, there's no limit to our food credit, but I don't think any of us are pigs when it comes to ordering food as taking advantage of
it. I learned my lesson from the Odyssey.
You learned your lesson?
From the Odyssey.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know if the Gold Nugget features any witches. You
it's
guys.
Louisiana. I don't know.
You never know, right? But we go there. The restaurants are great, and you get fed well while you're there. And then throw in the casino aspect, the sports book. It's all there for you.
And then you get to hang out with
I mean,
John and Lance, and
sure
have us have Lance heckle everyone on the draft picks, And John. Actually, I'm sorry.
Depending on John. Who you root for, yeah. The heckling may go to a level that you wouldn't ever expect. It all depends on John and who he knows you root for.
Yeah, yeah. Especially off mic John. Whew. On mic John is...
It's not... Well, AJ knows the brunt of that. it just goes to another level from off mic John. So we're going to do that starting this Thursday. You'll have three more opportunities after this Thursday. So if it doesn't go well for you this week, don't worry. You still got more chances to win. So we're going to do that, and it'll be fun. I don't remember. I think it was a listener who won last time around, I believe.
Yes.
I believe it was the man that John heckled throughout.
Yeah, Cowboys jacket.
So if you get heckled by John on that Thursday at the Gold Nugget, you got a real chance to win something big because that's the precedent that has been set. Get heckled by John, win big. In the
that's the sell
in the DraftKings sportsbook.
We're selling the experience of getting heckled by John in person.
Yeah,
and then having a better fantasy football.
If you listen to the morning show and hear him heckle me or Lance and think you'd love to be in our position, now you get the chance.
It's like going to like an insult comic show.
Yeah, if you're looking for that, looking for your own version of Triumph the Insult Comic Dog insulting you, we've got John the Insult
Radio host
insulting. And then you'll have your opportunity to I would say, suffer, but apparently enjoy the comic stylings of one John Granato. All that at the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles. We always love going there. We're going to do it again in late August. All right, that wraps it up for us today. We've got, sorry, my headset's going out a little bit. We've got Rich Eisen coming up next. And then I think Jeremy and Joe are back together, right?
Yeah, I don't think there's any vacations this week on the show or on any of the shows.
Got it. We're all back together in some ways. I mean, John, you know, out in L.A., but we're all back together, full shows the rest of the week. Sean, since we're done for the day, what does that mean?
Utter shambles or disgusting, disgraceful.
Craig Burley never thought he'd become part of this show, but look at you. Now you are, Craig. Thanks for your contributions.
We expected the thuggery.
I'm still waiting for a way to for you to work that in a American sports environment. We'll see what you come up with. All right. We're done. I'll talk to you tomorrow.